Hello and welcome, beautiful souls. On this podcast, I talk about the spiritual, the mystical, the psychological, the new earth, ghosts, aliens, and so much more. Sometimes interviewing fascinating guests, and other times it's just me talking about the wonders of life. Welcome to Dreamscape. Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to Dreamscape. In today's podcast, I'm interviewing Jonathan De Potter. This was a really great interview. We talked about the retreats that he is the founder of. They're called Behold Retreats, and that is where he does plant medicine. I also share one of my experiences of having done plant medicine. He talks about the benefits and the spiritual growth surrounding it, why he started it, and all sorts of things that you might want to take into consideration if you're wanting to go on and do a plant medicine retreat. These sound amazing, these retreats. They sound so lovely that, you know, I feel like I'm kind of done with doing plant medicine, but I almost got in the mood for doing them again when he talked about it. I was like, oh, that sounds nice. And they also have these lovely locations where they're at and stuff. But this was very, very nice, lovely interview that I had with him. So let's get started. Jonathan De Potter is the founder of Behold Retreats, where they facilitate life-changing plant medicine, psychedelic journeys to elevate the clients to peak performance and well-being. They guide clients that are ready to accelerate personal and spiritual growth to realize the full transformational benefits of psychedelic medicine, like 5-MeO-DMT, ayahuasca, and psilocybin, and provide safety, expertise, and curation, with memorable private and group retreats available in idyllic locations. Welcome, Jonathan, to the podcast.
Thank you, Heidi. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great having you on board and to talk about plant medicines and something that I find very interesting. And I'd like to start off the interview with asking you a little bit, if you could just talk a little bit about your background and what sort of made you stumble across your healing journey. What was it like that made you come across that and then, you know, plant medicine? And this is a big question, I know, but we'll just take it little by little. But tell us where you grew up and stuff first.
Yeah, sure. Happy to share. Lucky to have grown up in Maui on Hawaii. Nice. You know, it's a beautiful, magical place, really a special island. You know, it's got some what one might describe as light energy, but it's also got some dark energy. So, you know, I grew up in an environment where a lot of my friends found substances at a very young age, you know, talking 10, 11, 12 years old. And I come from pretty spiritual, pretty open-minded, pretty hippie parents. But from what I saw around me, none of that kind of attracted me, nor was I really open to it. So I went very much in the opposite path. I would say, you know, pretty early in life, I was an atheist. You know, I thought that was very much the right worldview. I was, not interested in medicines or substances of any sort. And I was drawn into the corporate world. So I've spent most of my career in strategy and management consulting. And, you know, through that amazing experience and many years working in the corporate world and climbing the ladder and making money and trying to get that promotion, I suppose I just kind of reached a point where that was no longer bringing me any incremental joy. And so when I felt that, you know, I was living in Hong Kong 5 years, climbing the ladder, you know, leading a large team, 120 people in a well-known management consulting firm. And I think after a particularly, you know, hard night, you know, work hard, play hard sort of environment there in Hong Kong, particularly amongst expats, multinationals. And, you know, I was hungover and looked myself in the mirror and go, I don't know what it is, but there's got to be more. Like, this can't be what a good life is, even if that's, you know, what society has told us that we should aspire to, is, moving to a big city and chasing a big job and earning lots of money, like, this isn't it. And I don't know what it is, and I don't know where it's going to come from, but I know this isn't it. And so in that moment, I decided to take a year off. And so as part of that, traveled through South America. And about 7 months into that journey, a couple of friends came and joined me, and we went to Peru. That was about 5 years ago now, and attended a first ayahuasca retreat there in outside of Cusco in the Sacred Valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting what you say there about, like, because I've heard this story quite a lot before, where people like, they climb the corporate ladder, they get to the place where they want to, like, they think that I'll be happy when I get there, and they get there and it's like, I'm not happy, like, what's the problem? You know, so that's interesting. But could you like explain to those who have no idea what plant medicine is, just briefly sort of what it is?
Yeah, sure. So we're referring to, I suppose, the group of plants often known as plant medicine, entheogens. It's a bit of a loose definition, I would say, because things are often included that don't really fit the plant medicine description. So, you know, magic mushrooms are often included, and in, you know, I was kind of one of the most commonly known medicines. But, you know, strictly speaking, they're a fungi. We're talking about, you know, cacti like San Pedro or peyote. We're talking about ayahuasca, which is indeed the combination of two plants, confusingly, the ayahuasca vine and the chacruna plant. And then often we include things like, for example, 5-MeO-DMT, which often, you know, which comes in a plant-based form. It comes actually in a toad-based form, often known as bufo. And it also comes in a synthetic form. And so, you know, again, often those medicines are collectively grouped, and, you know, there's others as well that are under the broader umbrella of plant medicine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what was it like when you did it in Peru? What were you expecting at first? What were you thinking like when you went into it?
You know, it was actually my friend who brought up the subject. It was not something that I had really so much on my radar. I had heard about it before, but I didn't really know a great deal, to be perfectly honest. And I didn't do my due diligence, if I'm to be perfectly honest. It was my friend's recommendation. They were coming down. You know, I knew that I was, you know, exploring. I was open. Like, you know, that was the purpose of the year, is to allow a void to form and to see what came and begun to fill that void. And so, I was open to the retreat, and I wasn't prepared. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, or the depth of what I was getting myself into. And I vividly remember before the retreat, my nerves and anxiety started to just really build. And it wasn't an experience, you know, it was something that I hadn't experienced in that way before. You know, I've been fortunate to surf some pretty big waves, and sometimes that can bring out some anxiety, but this was fundamentally different. And, you know, you'll appreciate it's the ego structure beginning to make itself known and felt in its protection of itself, because there was a lot to process for me. I had a very challenging experience over the retreat, so challenging that after the first night, I didn't think that I would get back on the horse. You know, I was describing to the team there at the retreat what I went through, and, you know, they kind of looked at me and smiled and nodded and said, "Yep, okay, great. So, you know, let's do it again tonight." And I just kind of looked at them like, "What? Like, I thought that was
Are
it.
You
like,
kidding?"
Yeah. And then I was like, "Well, that's, you know, that's quote unquote normal." They said, you know, yes, absolutely. And so, you know, back into the ceremonial tent, we went the next night. But, you know, in retrospect, I now see that while we were well cared for on the physical, the mental and the emotional planes, on the spiritual plane, I could have been very much more well cared for. And as I shared before, you know, I own that in the sense that I didn't come as prepared as one should to such an experience. So, you know, the universe gives us the lessons and brings us the medicine as and when we are ready. Even if, you know, I didn't quite feel ready, all things are in order. And it was a powerful experience for me, you know, and almost too powerful in the sense that, you know, to go from atheist to having the door blown off the hinges to access the spiritual realms is too much, too soon, too fast. And so I wasn't really able to meaningfully integrate that experience. I didn't have the right spiritual mentorship, the right, you know, guidance around that experience. And so, you know, to be perfectly honest, I reverted pretty quickly back to, you know, pre-retreat self. Because I just didn't have the right container. And so, you know, ultimately that's a large part of what motivated me to establish Behold Retreats is to try to first bring my friends on experiences that are more transformative, that they're prepared for, that they can integrate back into improvements to the quality of everyday life. Because the medicine is just a tool. It's not positive. It's not negative. It's neutral. It's the intentionality, the preparation, and the integration that makes the fundamental difference. And having good healers and having good guidance and someone who can help you spot your mental and emotional blind spots is so fundamental to this. You know, I often say that the science has shown us now that the medicine is, there's three things that I think are important about the medicine. It helps us reconnect to our sense of joy and who we are, and that's amazing and beautiful. It helps us connect to, you know, the sacred and our spiritual essence. And number three, and I think most importantly, it does not remove feelings of negativity and toxicity. And so that's our own work that we need to do in the self-determination, in the elevation of consciousness. You know, when we talk about these subjects, it's not that we're just trying to treat, you know, we're not trying to just treat mental health disorders as, you know, the media can lead us to believe with the headlines that they like to put out there. We're talking about elevating consciousness. We're talking about, you know, reaching higher states of understanding of peace and joy and love and releasing all of those lower levels emotions, not just trying to get back to a base level where we can, you know, be shuffled back into the office and continue working without too many complaints.
Yeah, that's so true. I remember, like, the first time I did it, I've done it a couple of times, and the first time I did it, I that following year was incredibly hard for me. It was like I felt like bad before, like I'd done so much work on myself, like with mindfulness practices and everything, but I wasn't really getting there. So I decided to do this retreat, and it's like you said, like I had to. It took like a whole. A good solid 1 to 2 years of like dark night of the soul kind of business, but I was also kind of prepared for it because I had done a lot of research. So I was really sort of like, I knew that it was going to show me my shit, pardon my language, but it wasn't gonna, like, I had to deal with it. But it's pretty scary when it, like, it shows you, when you get a lot of aha moments, I think, when you take it. Obviously I'm just going like from my experience, but I find it interesting what you said about the whole spiritual healing aspect of it, because I was thinking back when I heard you say it in another podcast interview where you were talking about that you don't necessarily get that in, you know, in your retreats, obviously you get that. And I want you to talk more about that and explain what that properly is, because like, I felt like I got the therapy when I was there, and I did get, I mean, they it came from such a loving place where I really felt the love like all around me. But of course there's, like you said, there's a lot of sort of the spiritual aspect of it and how to move on. Like, could you explain more like what you do at your retreats with that aspect? Well, physically, all the aspects, actually. Like, I'd love you to talk a bit about that.
Happy to share. Do you mind before I jump into that, if I could ask you just to share a little bit more about your own experiences on your ceremonies?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm going to try and just keep it really short because it's a lot. But I'll tell you about the one that got me most. Like, I've always been very sort of telepathic with Mother Ayahuasca. Like, she comes to my head and we just have this, like, through the retreats or when I've done it, it's like always telepathy. And the last time I did it was probably the most mind-blowing, and that made me think maybe I got, like, you know, when you get the call, you hang up, you know what, what's his name says, my ego I had a proper like ego death. It was like the scariest thing I've ever gone through in my life. It was it's really hard to explain, obviously, but it was like I was like out, I was away out in some kind of space. Things were building up around me everywhere, and there was no time, and I was just so scared. I thought I was, you know, the ego kept coming in. It's like, oh, you're getting pulled to hell, or you know, it's like, oh, you're getting tricked. Why are you doing this? You're stupid for going to this treat. You know, it's like, you know, all these, and I was like, shut up. And Mother Ayahuasca was like, you're ready. I'm like, I'm not ready. And eventually I spoke with one of the leaders, and I was like, what do I do? Like, she's taking me so deep. Like, and she's like, just give in to it. I was like, okay. So I was lying in fetal position, and I just released that and lay on my back, and I was like, okay, show me what you need to show me. And then it was like because I just completely released, I knew I had no way out of it, so to speak. And it just, we just flew away to, you know, through the universe, and I got to this light, this bright, beautiful light. That was God, I think, or the source energy, whatever. And it was just love. And Mother Ayahuasca was standing next to it, kind of like there were a couple almost. And she was wearing this amazing gown with all these colors. And I was standing next to them going, wow. And then all of a sudden, like, we were just looking out over, like, everything, eternity and everything. And all of a sudden, I wasn't, like, beside them. I was them. I was the light, and I was everything. I was in everything. And it was the first time in my life I felt like I don't lack anything, because I am everything. And I completely got everything, like Jesus has said, Buddha had said. I was like, I get it. And obviously I'm back to being human now, so I don't, you know, I try to be like, oh my God, how is that feeling again? But and I'm quite empathic and stuff, but it was such an amazing experience. And,
wow.
You know, so, wow. So that was,
well, you know, a lot of people go on a lot of retreats and don't have that experience. So yeah. You were so ready and you went so far. That's incredible. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. And what a beautiful experience. And, you know, I think a lot of people do get into this, not recognizing that ego death, you know, that process of complete surrender to what is part of the fundamental process. That's what we're trying to achieve, is to give up our small self so that we can truly see for the first time the big self, the true self, the essence of what is. And then, you know, it's our work to land back here in the 3D and to begin to make the little baby steps, because we've been shown, you know, this possibility of what is in states of consciousness that we can reach without medicine. And so then it's our job to begin that journey, to begin that process, and to do the mental and emotional work so that we can emanate, you know, love in every moment. And that's, you know, that's a continuous journey to try to, you know, get back to what we know is true and get back to what we felt in such moments. So thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, go on.
In terms of the healing aspects, you know, I think my own journey was, you know, quite a few years of attending quite a few different retreats. And, you know, instinctively, intuitively, I felt like I was missing something. I was, you know, reading the right books. I was going on meditation retreats. I was going on plant medicine retreats. I was meditating a lot outside of meditation retreats. And yet still, there was just this feeling of like, I don't know. And so it took me a while before I found the right healers that were able to help me really break through. And when I did, it was, you know, more progress in the space of a couple ceremonies than I had in the years of effort and really determined effort at that over many, many retreats. And so that was the moment that really kind of galvanized and helped me redouble the motivation in terms of being able to help friends avoid some of the potholes that I had found along the way, and to make sure that they're found into, you know, very safe and very sacred and very helpful containers for this very deep work. And so you know, that was one of the things that came back for me, is like after the second ceremony in particular that I did with these private healers, is like, wow, I've never felt so helped. Like, you know, I didn't know that help on this, you know, I've always been pretty self-sufficient sort of a person. I didn't understand that help on this level was even possible. You know, it's just outside of the realm of consideration. And so, you know, so much gratitude for what healers are able to do to help people prepare for and energetically calibrate for such an experience so that they have, you know, a much better chance of having the type of experience that that you had, because it's, you know, there's a, like I said before, it's my experience, my understanding, and that, you know, people can sit in a lot of medicine ceremonies and still not receive the message, as it were.
Yes, some people tend to, I mean, not many at all, but like some people don't feel like anything. But I've heard, and correct me if this is wrong, but that it tends to sort of stay in the body anyway and work on you, but for like a longer like process. Is that true? Or
yeah, it is. And often the medicine is just, you know, particularly ayahuasca, which feels like we're talking about here, it really works on the physical body, I would say, much more than other medicines, right? So often if people are working on physical ailments or, you know, autoimmune disorders or things like this, then, you know, ayahuasca can be a good fit. You know, for anyone who is suffering from physical ailments, would always recommend they do plenty of their own research ahead of, you know, jumping into ayahuasca for physical healing, because it's pretty intense, as you rightly shared. But yeah, often the medicine starts to work on the physical level. So, you know, if I relate this back to my first retreat, the three of us had very different experiences. One of my best buddies had, you know, he didn't throw up once, he didn't purge once during the ceremony. He held the medicine, had beautiful, profound experience. You know, he was up there with the angels and retracting his wings and expanding his wings and flying through the air with his whole family, and very beautiful experience. Meanwhile, I had a very challenging experience, you know, purged more times than I could care to count. and then my other friend, he had a lot of purging, no visions whatsoever, but the medicine was, you know, he had, you know, I would say he had some alcohol and some substance abuse challenges. And so there was a lot to detoxify from his physical body. So he wasn't able to move up into that place where the mind, body, heart, and spirit are harmonizing, so we can move up into these, you know, visionary states of consciousness. And so, you know, the medicine was really working on his physical body throughout that retreat. And so even though he was a little bit disappointed that he didn't have this, you know, big spiritual opening and experience, I mean, when he got home, he completely transformed his life. You know, no more of this, no more of that. You know, really dedicated himself to growing his business, found the right lady, bought the house. You know, that he immediately kind of gravitated in a much more, productive direction than how he was spending his time and energy before that. So that was, you know, that was really beautiful to see. So absolutely. And I think, you know, often the medicine just needs to move a lot of old processed food and stuff that we've got out of the physical system before it can bring us up into that higher vibration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting that you had like all, I think it was, felt like almost meant to be that you all had these different experiences and could all talk about them afterwards. So it's not like, you know, oh yeah, I felt that too. It's like very different. So, that's, you know, what I also try and tell people, that it's so different. You can't say, oh, it's, this is going to happen, because it's so different for everyone. But if you would like to just talk about like if somebody would come to your retreat, like what is the process of what happens? Like, do you come to your retreat and stay at like a, hotel, or like, I don't know where you stay there. Is it like, you know, what is the process and how many days and, you know?
Yeah. Happy to share. So for most of our clients, we typically do a 7-week process. We do kind of the 7-week process as well as retreats by themselves. Over the 7 weeks, what we typically do is 3 weeks before the retreat, a 1-week retreat. We do group retreats as well as private retreats. And then we do 3 weeks after the retreat. So as you'd expect, the 3 weeks before is all about preparation. It's all about helping people understand where they are in life, where they'd like to be, and then to help them to begin to surface the limiting beliefs, the thought patterns, the emotions that are keeping them from that person who they know they can be. And so what I always say to clients is that, you know, anyone who it is that we want to be, we can become. If we truly believe that, you know, the things that are keeping us from that thing will surface themselves. The universe will begin to send us the things, the messages, the opportunities into our life to be able to overcome the limitations that we've, you know, either through intergenerational trauma or early childhood trauma or through, you know, programming from society or school or whatever it is that it may be, the limiting beliefs that we think that we have, and bring those, you know, to the surface so that we can begin to work on them over that preparatory period. So a lot of thought work, a lot of emotional work. You know, for us, we have a lot of, you know, quite busy executive type clients. And so, you know, people who are in the habit of being stressed out in the business world are pretty disconnected emotionally. And so a large part of the process is we want to help them connect with their emotional body ahead of stepping into the work with plant medicine, because that's one of the things that obviously plant medicine can help us with. But we want to have the tools to be able to release these emotions, you know, the shame, the guilt, the fear, the grief, the apathy, the anger, all of that stuff can come to the surface. And so if we don't know how to deal with these intensified emotions, you know, thanks to the medicine, it's brought to the surface in a more intense sort of a way. And so if we're not ready for how to face that honestly, with vulnerability, with humility, and to be able to release it out of our energetic being, then we can contract away from the experience. And then you're, you know, then we're talking about, oh, a bad trip, or, you know, more challenging types of experiences that that people can have just by virtue of not being prepared for that intensity that come to the surface. So that's a lot about what we do in preparation. So typically clients will be working with a coach or a therapist depending upon their needs. And then during retreat, we would typically do three or four ceremonies depending upon the medicine, depending upon whether it's a group retreat or a private retreat, yoga, meditation, mindfulness practices, perhaps massage, you know, beautiful vegan, vegetarian meals, and plenty of time for rest, reflection, journaling. And, you know, what I always encourage clients to think about is like, you know, yeah, you could spend some time conversing and meeting these other great people and, you know, exchanging stories and dot, dot, dot. But this is ultimately for you. So make sure that you spend plenty of time with you over the course of the retreat, rather than, you know, socializing about last night's experience, for lack of a better description. So so that's really the retreat. We predominantly work with three medicines: psilocybin, magic mushrooms, ayahuasca, and also 5-MeO-DMT, which is, you know, also known as the God molecule. Very powerful medicine, generally recognized as even 4 to 6 times more powerful than ayahuasca. So very powerful experience. And then in terms of the integration post-retreat, we really help people, you know, bring all of that together and bring it back into the 3D. The only thing that matters is how you anchor that back into the real world and how you're going to change your behavior, how you're going to change your habits, how you're going to change your thoughts. And so, yeah, clients benefit from a lot of, you know, reconsideration of a lot of the things and a lot of the patterns that they've been living in, so that they can, yeah, bring those back and begin to live these improvements in terms of quality of everyday life, rather than, you know, a few weeks later going, oh man, maybe I need to go on another one of these retreats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said 7 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a long time, but I think that that's probably very, very good as well, because it does take time.
In the 3 weeks before and the 3 weeks after are remote. So we do that with clients, you know, through Zoom as we are now. And then obviously the retreat is on site for 1 week.
That's really great, because that's something I think a lot of people feel after they have been to this kind of retreat. And just like you said, it's really hard to integrate it into, like, a lot of people don't understand it. So you don't really get the understanding around you from maybe family and friends, because, well, they just don't get it really, even though they love you and they want to protect you, you know, they're just happy you came back alive, kind of thing. And it's but it's very hard to explain. Also, a lot of people don't really like that people change, you know, like, because you do sort of change a little bit, but for the better, obviously. But I think that can be hard for some people to see that, oh, but you're not quite the same. I'm like, yeah, but I mean, I was carrying crap. you know, but it can be hard. So I'm thinking it's very, what a gift to be able to, like, you know, have the backup of you and your team when you've been to one of your retreats afterwards for a while, mm-hmm. to like really, because it does take a while to integrate it, I think. So that sounds amazing.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to build on something you said there, because I think it's so important. It's that, you know, when people ask, well, how do I, you know, okay, well, maybe your retreats are a little expensive. How else can I find a good experience, right? And I always say to people, look past the people who say, I've had a life-changing experience and their life is the same, and look for people who have had some serious changes to their lives, right? So if they're still hanging out with the same people and going out for drinks on a Friday night, I don't think that's the transformation that you're looking for, or at least the transformation that's possible for you. If they're still working in the same job, doing the same thing and kind of seeing the world in the same way, despite the fact that they had this kind of profound experience, like, that's probably a sign that they didn't have the experience. They didn't have the transformation that is possible. So I always encourage people to, like, you know, things are going to change a lot as a result of these types of experiences. And here's the thing, they continue to change a lot in relation to these experiences, because there's always more nuance. There's always new aspects of self that are rising to the surface that need to be looked at, deeply looked at, in order to continue that process of understanding self and understanding consciousness and who and what we are.
Absolutely. And do you feel, because when I look at the world now, as we're going through like this huge sort of awakening process, I kind of feel like the whole world is going through an ayahuasca retreat.
100%.
It feels that way, because there's so much crap coming to the surface, like, all the time now, it feels. I choose to see it positively, but I don't, sometimes I need to be careful not to say that out loud when something bad is happening, because I don't mean that I'm happy that there's a war going on or something. Not at all, but we are, like, a lot of people I find are going through so many things now because of they're purging out the old. So that's how I know that they're doing at a Karolinska Institute in Sweden. It's like a hospital. They're trying out microdosing now, and I find that very interesting. What are your thoughts on microdosing psychedelics?
Yeah, so I have my personal experiences have been underwhelming, to be perfectly frank. I think some people swear by it, and the science is split. So I think it's almost split 50-50. Like, there's as many studies saying this is good as there are studies saying this does nothing, this is placebo. It's an interesting one. I think. I think for me personally, and I think we're all different, and I think that's part of what plays such a significant role. You know, there's some companies out there that are now trying to find the relationship between epigenetic markers, genetic markers, and whether or not someone has, you know, a predisposition to a better experience with this medicine versus that medicine. And so, you know, again, personally, that's kind of the deterministic scientific, you know, Newtonian worldview that I don't really prescribe to anymore. But it's interesting, right? It's interesting to, because I think we are genuinely all different. And so what affects one person in one way affects another person in completely another way. And, you know, I personally, like, I don't know what your views are on vaccines, but my personal view is, I think if you believe that it works and you truly believe that, then it does. And if you believe that it doesn't and that it would hurt you if you got it, then it probably would. And so the extent to which consciousness is primary, I believe to be absolute. Like everything is consciousness and intentionality, expanding itself endlessly in all directions, experiencing itself, bouncing off itself, sometimes violently, sometimes in really beautiful ways, and everything in between. And so once we collectively recognize that anything like a war is fundamentally a reflection of sickness of mind, then we have the solution, right? The solution is addressing sickness of mind in the inner world that is then being reflected in the outer world. And so I think, you know, as you alluded to at the beginning, we're going through an awakening process together where we actually recognize that together and can begin to recognize that if you want freedom of choice, then I want freedom of choice and everyone wants freedom of choice. And hey, wouldn't it be great if we all had freedom of choice? And that will lead us to a very different world than that which we find ourselves in today.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely would. And yeah, I agree with you completely there that, you know, when you think that something is definitely going to work, then it probably will. I absolutely believe that. So which is cool. Sometimes I try and do that with just water, like when I'm drinking a glass of water or something. I'm like, I have this glass of water I drink in the morning with a bit of lime and apple cider vinegar. And I'm like, I just keep saying I'm abundant like three times over, and then I drink it. So I'm like, okay, this is my abundance. You know, it's a new day, and you know, just trying to start. Yeah, it does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You mentioned as well, I just wanted to touch on, because we've talked a little bit about ayahuasca, and you said 5-DMOT. Is that the bufo that you're talking about? Or yeah,
it is.
Yeah. And is that like something that is that for everyone, or do you, like when you have clients, do you sort of recommend some to not go there? Or
yeah, so for my friends and our clients who are of, you know, sound mind, actually let me frame this not in the perspective of clients, but like close friends of mine who are like, okay, I'm ready to do plant medicine. What do you think I should do? If I know them to be of strong and sound mind, I will put them in the direction of a private retreat with 5-MeO-DMT. Because for me, that is what has given me exponentially more benefit than lots of other retreats, shall we say. And so it's very easy to make that recommendation. And that being said, there's no right or wrong here. And it's super important that people take the time and the energy to, number one, develop their own why. Like, you really want to develop your own why for, you know, attending a plant medicine retreat, number one. And then number two, to spend the time and the energy on understanding the different plant medicines. And it's pretty likely that through that process, you're going to find one that just resonates more with you. And, you know, that's probably the one that you should follow your nose and attend. So that's, of course, what I do with my friends and for my friends. And when we speak to clients and they're like, oh, you just tell me which retreat I should join. It's like, this is a big choice that you're making here. And it's important that you make it for yourself from a place of not complete information, but more information than you have on the call right now. So go do some research and let's have another conversation next week. Mm.
Yeah. Do you have like a, maybe one or two, could you tell me, like, I love hearing stories about what's happened, but like when you've taken like bufo, could you just take one of your experiences and tell us what happened?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you my first experience because it was, I've probably done 30 with bufo now, maybe a few more. And I mean, each one is ineffable, not reducible to natural language, of course, but the first one was incredible. You know, I was shown very clearly a world where everyone was able to interoperate and be free, and there was no hierarchy. And so actually, after I came back from the experience, the first words out of my mouth were, who's going to build the houses? Because I was confused about, like, how are we going to build houses when there aren't people building houses? Like, you know, we're just the whole system, like everything was just going to be so different. And it was so clear about how we can all live together in abundance, in peace, in joy, in love, and in harmony. It was just so utopianly clear. Wow. And then I was also shown a bunch of things about the business and moving into a decentralized ownership model for the business, which is very much something that's ahead for us, is how do we evolve? Because that's what's energetically aligned. You know, it's capitalism is absolutely one of the things that we need to give up. It's that extractive energy of I'm able to get more than I've given. Ha ha ha. That extractive sort of energy is just, that is the problem. That is the collective problem. And so, you know, that journey was close to 2 years ago now. And still finding the right way to evolve into that structure, because it's complex, but we're moving very much in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. Like I said, it's like the experiences of everyone is so different. I've done it once, I just went into pure light, and it was just pure love. And I don't know, I thought I was away for quite a while. I got back, I was like, they hadn't even given it to they'd maybe gone two step, like done two more people, and I was like, oh, I've been away for hours. I'm like, no. 5 minutes maybe. But I went pure love, and it was just this floaty, yeah, I was just floating in love and in light. So it's pretty crazy. Cool, but I kind of thought, oh, this is what happens, you know. But then I understood that no, like, everyone has very different experiences of what happens.
Yeah, I mean, some people have the experience of every cell of their body splitting into infinite pieces at the same time, and I'm like, oh boy, that's that's very different from, you know, infinite pain in all directions all the time without time or space. And you're just like, oh wow, no, I've never had that one. I've been fortunate on the healers front, so they've, you know, been able to energetically prepare me and calibrate me ahead of blasting off into the infinite. And Jesus, I mean, I'm part of on Reddit. I'm not sure if you know what Reddit is, but it's there's a 5-MeO DMT community forum there. And what's fascinating is that most people on that forum don't believe that there are lasting benefits to these experiences. So what they're saying is that they don't actually believe that you can sustainably elevate your consciousness. They believe that you can go up into this space and then come back down, and then, you know, you're back where you were before. And this is not just a few people. This is like the majority in the forum don't believe that you can elevate your consciousness sustainably. And for me, I'm just like, this has been so opposite to my own experience because of the healers that I was working with. And so I always, you know, again, encourage people to spend the time and the energy to really be discerning in relation to who they choose to work with, because I think it's, you know, it's potentially one of the most important decisions of your life. You know, there, make no mistake, you know, we've been talking about mostly really good things in relation to plant medicine, but there's, you know, some very challenging stories out there as well, many. And so would recommend that people also educate themselves in terms of, you know, some of the real risks and some of the challenges in relation to working with plant medicine.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've had a couple of really, really, really horrible nights as well. And it is a bit of a kick-ass healing journey.
In those moments, we wake up that night or the next day, you kind of, we think to ourselves, right? We think, why am I doing this? Yeah. Like, what? Like, I've got a couch and a TV. Yeah. And life, like, what am I doing here?
I know, like, what am I thinking? It's like, lost my mind. But yeah, no, it's really, really good. I'm not going to take up too much of your time, but like, where can people find you? And obviously I'll put it in the show notes, and if you would share that information with me on mail as well, and I'll definitely share it to anyone listening and who's interested. But where can people find you?
Yeah, come and have a look at behold-retreats.com or on Instagram at behold_retreats. And, you know, if for those who resonate with what I've shared today and are looking for a journey, come and have a chat with one of our team, and we'll see if we're a mutual fit.
Fantastic. Do you have anything else that you'd like to share?
No, I mean, I think I'll reemphasize the point around inner work. You know, it's the mental and emotional work that we have to continue to do that leads to the improvements, the quality of life. You know, I've had clients come before and they're saying, oh, well, I can either, you know, do the coaching and the guidance and the mental and emotional work, or I can come on retreat. And, you know, 95% of the time, I will always say, do the coaching and the mental and the emotional work, because that's going to be much more likely to bring you sustainable benefits to your life relative to just blasting off in Costa Rica for a week. I know this is experiential, it's exciting, it's, you know, travel, it's all of those sorts of good things. And so, you know, this logically feels appealing, but, you know, in terms of improvements to quality of life and sustainable elevation of consciousness, mental and emotional work.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an amazing conversation, and I'm so happy that I got to meet you and talk to you.
Likewise. Thank you, Heidi.